Thanks for joining me today. I couldn't join me today too well. I've been taking some new meds and they seem to have a very deleterious effect on me, which is that it knocks me out completely. And that's not the intention. The intention is to help me sleep a little, but not forever. It's not a Rip Van Winkle effect that I'm looking for. I'm looking just for, you know, just to be sedated enough to get my bearings and to start the show. This is Lead Stories. I'm Patrice Lead, and you're listening to Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with Crisis. Jimmy Merritt on bass, Cedar Walton on piano, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, and the great man himself, Art Blakey, on drums. This is from the album Mosaic, which was released in 1961. People were doing such good work all the way back then. So how are you doing today? I'm glad that you're here with me and that we can walk down this road together today. I wanted to talk a little bit about a subject that, let me find my notes here. Okay. Yes, I have my notes now. I wanted to talk about Haiti today, but from a different perspective, and to find out from you what you have been thinking based on how the news is unfolding and what we are learning as the days go by. And it comes, the discussion comes down to a question: what do we know about Haiti, and what is our main concern about Haiti? And I asked the question, can Haiti save itself? Can Haiti save itself? And at what cost? Lots and lots of things are happening, and we are seeing them, and they're being reported on every day, but we're not getting to the meat of the question, it seems to me. People are telling us, well, what is happening? The latest news that's unfolding. But that doesn't really suggest to us that we understand Haiti, or we understand what is going on with Haiti and the concerns of Haitians. So I ask it in the form of a question: can Haiti save itself? And at what cost can it do so? What would your answer to that question be? Can Haiti save itself? Why am I asking the question that way? It is important, I think, because we keep waiting for somebody to tell us what the answer is, if we think there is an answer, but we keep waiting. And we don't know what the answer is because we are afraid to speak publicly about our fears about Haiti, or our disappointments about Haiti, our anxieties about Haiti, and what might be happening even now. So I ask you in the form of a direct question. This way we can't avoid it. We have to answer it. We have to engage with the question. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And I'd like to hear from you as soon as you can. Think about it. What's been going on, what we're being told, and your own private fears, your own private concerns about the news that is unfolding every day about Haiti and its leaders and where they are, what they're contemplating, and what they are concerned about Haiti's future, and even now its present. But we are not getting any closer to the question itself. And so it makes sense for us to just dive in and ask the question of ourselves. There is no right or wrong answer, but there is an intelligence that we ought to have about the question and how to answer it by now. And we ought to be able to say what concerns us about Haiti right now. And based on the issues that have been unfolding and our concerns about that. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. I'm looking here. I don't see yet that anybody's called yet. What is your concern about Haiti? And in addressing those concerns, asking yourself the question and answering the question, can Haiti save itself? You'll have to answer the question by telling us what is meant by the question, can Haiti save itself? What concerns you about the question? 888-874-4888.
You got Ed from Queens.
Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you Keith. How are you feeling?
Oh, I could feel better, but I'm hanging in.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you.
Pertaining to your question, I had a conversation about this actually with one of my relatives last night. And people are not a fan of my answer, but I don't think so. I mean, if you look back at Haiti's history, suffice to say, it's paying a price for being the first free republic and resisting white supremacy in the form of France and influences from the United States as far as its threatening, being a threatening republic close to the United States and being a harbor for escaped slaves and still paying the price for that. Aside from that, the internal struggle, the constant internal strife, the constant of the elite in Haiti's influencing government and the backbiting, I think it's been far too compromised to answer the question as far as what do I mean as far as Haiti can save itself. I think it's been far too compromised to be a functional state, being able to access its resources and care for the welfare of his people. Unfortunately, I think there's just too much deceit. There's too much internal struggle. And partially because of the world's involvement, partially because of colonialism, but also partially because of the Haitian people and the lack of unity. I mean, they know that they are compromised.
Isn't it being extremely idealistic and to some degree unreal? Who among us has been part of any movement to create a nation? And therefore, we know what the pains are, and we know how to anticipate them, and we know how to head them off. Who among us has that knowledge? And certainly at that time, could you say that the average person knows what to do or can anticipate what needs to be done and can render some kind of advice and help in helping people to forge a nation? Is that something that regular people could easily engage in a discussion about that?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, I mean, I'm my humble opinion. You asked the question, what's your opinion as far as Haiti being able to save itself? All I'm saying is that there, throughout history, there's a continuity when you're building a nation. There's a nationalism that goes through the nation, and it may not be the majority of the individuals that make up that country or that nation, but there is a consensus among a critical amount of people in the nation that they are unified, that they have a goal, that there's a common struggle. And compromise, politics is compromise. Politics is the art of the deal. Politics is making, is fostering your resources for the betterment of everyone, not just for the exclusivity of a few elites. And I don't see that in Haiti. I don't see that happening in Haiti. I see it happening during the revolution, but I don't see it happening since. I see too much greed, especially in modern times, of the elite class and a subjugation of the lower classes. And the lower classes are the backbone of any type of movement or any type of nation building, because those are the people that actually do the work. And as long as there is that, for want of a better word, capitalist bent of some people got to be on top, some people got to be on bottom, as long as there's no spirit of brotherhood, then you're never going to, I don't believe you'll ever manifest a true nation. That's just my opinion.
Yes, but I'm still saying, you throw out, in fact, you didn't even put it in to the mix of, this is a monumental task. How do you get everybody on board, or as many people as you can to get on board to reach a point of critical mass about anything? You just said it in a way. People have to agree. People have to sign on to ideas, new ways of doing things. Could you imagine the fear and the trepidation people would have, those who never been to school, they've never held any kind of responsibility like this, they've never been part of nation building? Could you imagine what they were going through at the time and thinking, oh, we're supposed to make this work? How could this work? We've never done this before. Don't you think that that level of sentiment is perhaps going to be more dominant than the yes, we can?
Well, you've got to, it's not an easy task, I give you that. But I mean, look at Cuba, look at Venezuela. A dynamic leader, a simple concept of fidelity, unity, brotherhood, and a recompense of the people. When the people start to see results, when they're not hungry anymore, when they have shelter, the basic needs are being provided for the largest of the majority, then you get a consensus. Then you start to develop a feeling of a fraternity that can lead to nation building. I'm not saying, you know, it's an easy task, but it can be done, and we've seen examples of it throughout the world. And I just don't think that Haiti is capable of doing it. I mean, largely because of the corruption by the colonial powers of the actual state, and I think a brokenness of the spirit of the people after dealing with earthquakes and hurricanes and diseases. I think there might be a weakness to the people there. I can't, you know, qualify it. It's just an opinion. I've not been on the ground. I've just spoken to individuals, family members, and friends. And, you know, nobody really wants to say it because of the proud history that Haiti provides with the African-American people and African people in general. But to me, I mean, I hate to say it. I don't like to say it, but the history of deceit, backbiting, and betrayal runs too deep, and the sentiment of that is what's a bone of contention for Haiti actually resolving itself to be a nation or functional nation.
I am stunned that you are so pessimistic that you don't see that it is even possible, and the reasons that you give. But they're legitimate reasons, and they ought to be put into the mix, because in the end, when you create a nation, you create a nation of all people. The presumption is that all people are equally prepared to do their part. But as you know, this is a special circumstance. We have most people coming out of the experience of enslavement. They've never had a prolonged period of experience in self-determination and that kind of thing. And besides which, they're human beings caught in the fulcrum of change at a time when they're not prepared to take on the burden of change. So there may be trepidation on their parts because of that. There may be insecurities about change because of that. But you make some very strong points, and they should be part of what we ought to consider when people are faced with this question of how do we create our own universe, our own sphere of influence? How do we go about that, having never done it before, not knowing what the procedures are, or if this thing could work, or are we just imitating something because we see some people are doing it, and therefore our attitude is, well, if they could do it, we could do it too. But is it as simple as that? Thanks. That was a great start to the question, because you were wrestling with the very ideas and concepts that I think people at any time undertaking this business of nation making would undergo. Thank you. 888-874-4888. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
It's going.
All right. Well, it's going over here, too.
All right.
To the question of, can Haiti save itself? And I do feel, yes, they do have the potential to save themselves as a nation. However it may be, it's going to be a very difficult, hard, and it's going to be a task that is going to take them to the brink of, a lot of people probably dying, being violent, because I think the only way Haiti can save itself is through another or a second Haitian Revolution.
It's the only way.
For me, that's the only way I can see them saving themselves is through a second Haitian Revolution.
And if they were to undertake a second revolution, what is that probably going to look like, and what would be achieved going that route?
Well, what's gonna have to happen? Not saying it will, but what's gonna have to happen is there has to be some sort of grassroots underground movement within the people, within the nation. They're going to have to be with the people who are suffering the most, and get on board the people who basically don't. They don't have anything to lose. And obviously, as we hear from the reports from Haiti, there are a lot of people like that. Probably majority of the countries like that, where they don't have inadequate housing, inadequate food, inadequate place to stay, with not just probably food shortage, water shortage, but also the violence that they have to endure. And like I said, this underground movement, whoever it may be, has to rally those people to their cause, because obviously these are the only people that are going to risk their lives to, you know, to basically save and form a better nation. Now, if
how do you know that? How do you presume that to be true?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. This is basically all speculation, you know, and just going towards how this nation can save itself. Because obviously we don't know, or, you know, and I'm just hoping to presume that there is some sort of underground movement going on to rally, you know, the grassroots movement and the people of Haiti towards this movement and away from the oligarchs of the nation who have just basically ruined, you know, the nation as a whole. And so, you know, maybe there might be some organization going on, you know, gathering people to their side, and just hopefully just basically, you know, fomenting or starting, you know, like I said, another Haitian revolution.
But doesn't that itself, as you say it, doesn't that seem a bit counterproductive? Are people likely to want to repeat something that they consider a failure? It has not worked. So why do it again?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I guess if you're referring to the first Haitian Revolution, I wouldn't consider that a failure. I think the mistake came in where I think the way they built the nation was, you know, where they made their faults at. But I think this time around, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to do something different in regards to the structure of this, the next government that, you know, whatever opportunity they have to do this. So from my understanding, or from what I'm looking at, you know, in regards to some of the nations that have successfully done this, or say, for instance, like Cuba. Cuba went from a what they call a democratic republic society to a communist society. And I think Haiti might need to take that turn, or take a look at, you know, forming this new nation, you know, if this revolution is successful, because obviously the definition of a revolution is to change the system, not to go back to where you were before.
But again, you come up against the big the big stone in the road here is that Haiti, in terms of organizing the people into a force, a moving force that's reasonably together, they didn't start out that way. They don't have a history of being together and trusting each other's leadership and trusting each other's sense of, their victory, how to achieve victory, and what is the goal. There's no unanimity, or very little unanimity, of agreement on how you move forward. It's everything is fractured. That's the nature of the reality. So first you have to get some kind of unanimity there, and then you organize based on what you think are shared goals and objectives. And either way, it's a lot of work, like a paper hanger in a windstorm. You'd be very, very busy. And go ahead.
Oh yeah, I mean I agree. That is the big stone in the road, the elephant in the room that you're going to have to resolve due to the divisions of identities that this country has been suffering through for the last 200 years in regards to colorism, class, you know, and all in different types of, you know, ethnic divisions that they've had in regards to, you know, the mulatto class and, you know, the pure African bred class. And, you know, it's a mess. And for that to unify, and I'm not, you know, I'm kind of totally against the, I'm not against it, but it's a trope that has played out in various points of history, where you have this one charismatic leader who kind of, you know, rallies the masses to, you know, a particular cause. And it looks like that it might have to play out in this situation as well.
But are you hopeful that it will or it can, or that people would see or come to see in short time, because, you know, they also are running out of time. By saying that, I mean, there's no timetable before the people, but I think everybody has a sense that the situation is urgent. Whatever it is that we're going to do, could we forge an agreement about it as quickly as possible and get to work on creating some kernel of unanimity of agreement so that we can start a framework by which we can rebuild. But I'm not so sure that that is easily as established or as easily established as we think. It's going to take a lot of time. They don't have time.
Well, what's going to happen is basically, if this doesn't happen soon, you're going to find Haiti being annexed to the United States. It's going to be it's not going to be a state, but it's going to be like Puerto Rico, kind of like what do they call it? A U.S. territory.
How does that make you feel, by the way, after all this time, that that is what you see as a possibility?
Well, that possibility makes me feel sad, because as I've explained to you before, I am a big study of Haitian history, and I am proud of that particular history in regards to a nation that formed out of a slave rebellion, out of oppression, out of tyranny. And for the United States to kind of, you know, in that situation, annex Haiti, the United States basically winning that whole situation by taking it as a colony, even though it was born out of a slave rebellion, and slavery being one of the bigger major factors of why this country is the superpower of the world right now.
So actually, Haiti confronts two realities. It has to recreate itself. And how do you do that in this situation that they're in, where the country at almost every single level is in chaos, and there is no one person or no one party. It does not appear that there's a unanimity of agreement about what's the next step. So you're repeating steps, and all the while things are getting worse, and you haven't been able to formulate an answer yet. You haven't been able to tell people what the vision is and how they can sign on to it, or even if they should. This is a very, very delicate situation. And because people have long memories, they've been through the promises before, they've been painted this picture of nationhood before, and they've signed on, and they've suffered the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, and the hope that something good would come out of it. And as time, hundreds of years are going by, we can see that there is deceit, there is exploitation, there is just open lying. And Haiti is not nearly as close to nationhood as it ought to be. But who am I to say that? What ought to be? We don't know what ought to be because nobody has let us know what they've come up with as a working model for nationhood. And the models we have seen don't inspire confidence. They don't inspire participation and ownership of it. We still have a yawning gap between those who are leading and those who are expected to fall in line and follow. So this is a big order, a very big order, and I'm not so sure that people are being realistic in their expectation that it can be done again and quickly enough to save themselves as a nation. Good thoughts. Thank you so much for contributing today. 888-874-4888. I don't want you to think that there is an answer. There isn't. All there is that we can talk about what we think and based on what we know or we think we know. But this too is a necessary step in nation building where people have all kinds of ideas and suddenly they're put together or they come together believing they have shared hopes and dreams and aspirations, but it may not necessarily be so. So the work is just the same fundamental. You have to start from scratch. And you can't take for granted that people see the way, they understand, and therefore they sign on to something of a plan. How do you sign on to a plan when there isn't a plan? How do you maintain confidence? How do you invest in an effort that supposedly is about nation building, but you don't see the elements of a nation coming together? We see people talking, but we don't have a sense that any of it is possible or could come true. 888-874-4888. This too is a very vital reality about nation building, both on a small scale or on a large scale. It's the same thing. People have to be inspired about leadership. They have to see the value of it. They have to feel in their gut that they can help make things work. And in helping to make things work, it would be helpful and better for all. But again, that's just me talking. It has nothing to do with reality on the ground. Mohammed from New York at 888-874-4888. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Professor Leeds. I sincerely hope.
It's Leed, L-E-I-D.
Well, I say Professor Leeds because you run the program like a classroom. So I call you Professor.
Well, for me too. For me too.
Okay.
It's a classroom for me too.
Okay.
Everybody is learning.
That's true. And the listeners that they refer to, I refer to them as classmates. And as I always say, I listen to Gary Null, and he talk about you a great deal. So that is why I always say, I sincerely hope your health continues to improve. Now, going to Haiti.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Haiti can and it will save itself. When dissatisfaction reaches a certain level, nature produces those people among those people who will make the changes necessarily be made. Now, you and quite a few other of my classmates already said it. The key is going to be organization and unity. And a big thing that we really have to fight, and the same as Nicaragua, Cuba, Venezuela, is the West. Haiti's not just fighting the United States, they're also fighting Western Europe. So they're going to have unity. They're going to have to be organized. And what is going to propel them is their basic needs. Their basic needs are food, clothing, and shelter. Those are the basic needs.
But you don't know what the basic needs are, because we are not in touch. We are not having regular conversations with the people who are attempting to make something work. We don't know what their priorities are turning out to be. We're not in their shoes.
Okay.
And so a lot of this has to do with, again, this is nation building. It's a very slow process, very frustrating process.
And it is. And it is because the United States is undermining their independence with the assistance of Western Europe. Like I said, our basic needs are food, clothing, and shelter. When you deprive people of that, they're not going to stand for that but so long. And they're going to produce leadership among themselves. And their biggest fight is going to be, when I say the United States, I mean the CIA. Professor Craig Roberts, he was Assistant Secretary of Treasury under Stockman. And he said this one time. He said, I was in Europe, and they kept asking, how did the CIA...
Is that still not fixed, that alarm?
No, it's not fixed yet, I'll be honest with you. I went to the place to get myself a ladder.
It's very, very distracting.
Yeah, and everyone gets on me about it, so I'm going to have to do something very soon. But I went to Kmart's. It was so many people, I couldn't get what I needed to really get done. But anyway, as they said to Dr. Craig, well, how did the CIA have that much influence? He said, because they come with bags of money. And the problem is that dividing the people, see, they can continue this through division, how they break the people up.
But it is not that simple. None of this is simple.
No, it
is no simple way to see this issue.
No, it's
because it's been tried, it hasn't quite worked to forge a nation and to keep it going. There are all these various challenges that crop up, and the people haven't figured out how, in the face of these challenges, you continue with the program of building a nation. Now, it's easy for me to say, I'm in Florida, but people who are in the fight have an entirely different appreciation of the reality of that fight.
That's true.
And we need to figure out, what is it that they are experiencing? What do they say the challenges are? What are they dealing with?
Their challenges, and what they're dealing with, is lack of freedom. Many of them don't have food. They don't have adequate shelter. And that's what's going to bring them together. The key is going to be unity. And the problem is the United States. The United States and Western Europe does what it does by dividing people, buying off the leaders, just like
the guy. But the leaders themselves, we can't ignore the reality. It's not that Europe is doing the bad things to the people. The people themselves are doing the bad things.
That's because
the people themselves are betraying a revolution. The people themselves are on the wrong side. Many of them are on the wrong side.
Some of them.
They're not changing. Yes, some of them, but too many of them are on the wrong side. How do you get, in this most recent situation here, how do you get people invading the home of the president of the country, whatever you want to think about him, but he and his wife were there, and, you know, they come in with guns blazing. And I mean, how do you get to that point without the first steps being taken and apparently not being resisted. How do you do that?
They had traitors in there. People were bought off and allowed that to happen.
Yes, they have traitors everywhere, but at the same time, it is not like it's news.
Right, no. Okay, now, any other president or leader of a country, king or whatever, they would have a security force. How was another force able to come in there and just go right in and deal with it?
But you're asking the wrong question. We don't. It's not about how could another force came in. That's where you start. The reality isn't to ask it philosophically. How could this happen? It happened. We need to lock horns with. It happened. And it's happened several times.
Okay, it was planned, and some of the people that were supposed to be his security people, they were bought off.
So they were bought off. That, too, is being experienced for the umpteenth time. This is not new.
In many places. But what you need is... What you need is dedicated people. People dedicated.
Everybody knows that you need dedicated people, but it's not happening. That's the question.
It's going to happen.
You can't continue to say, well, this is what you need. Instead of this, you need that. That is not a solution.
Everybody knows what they need.
It's not happening.
It can and it will. It's going to happen. It's going to take time because the forces against them are very strong. And they are united.
We have been through that before. It's hundreds of years I'm talking about that these things are evident and they have been happening.
Okay, Professor,
the question is, how do we move beyond, Professor Leonard Jeffries used to say, the paralysis of analysis?
Nation
building.
It's organization and unity and dedication and commitment to
that
the goal.
You're not helping. These are flash words, and they just that.
You're talking about
building a nation. You can't have flash words and motivational themes and all this other kind of stuff. You have to have a method that's tried and true. You have to have productivity that takes people from one stage to another, and they can feel it and see it and experience it and would be inspired to stay with it. We know what has to be done, quote unquote. But it is not being done. And
it's going to be done.
The question is, it has to be looked at. And the question now before us, you see how difficult it is. We are talking this far down the line. This shouldn't even be a conversation. This shouldn't be the conversation that ought to be had at this point is, what's next? What are we going to do next? What are we going to achieve next? Instead, we're stuck.
The Haitian people will do that. When dissatisfaction reaches a certain level.
Yeah, but don't go there because these are simplistic ways of addressing a very real problem. And it's not about expressing ideas that sound good.
Okay.
What is your experience in making it work?
Okay.
How is it that you can see these approaches as being far more preferable than the ones that have been employed so far?
The key is knowing yourself and organization and unity.
Oh, Lord. We can't.
Read history. Look at the British.
No. These are pat answers that people come up with when there is no answer that they can, a working, plausible answer that has been tested in one way or the other and has yielded some measure of encouraging results. When people do the right thing will be done. How does that help us? It doesn't.
Organization, unity, and knowing who you are, knowing your history.
No. None of that obtains at the moment. Okay. None of that is applicable at the moment. Because you see what the issue is. It hasn't been happening. It hasn't yet happened to an effective outcome that moves or has moved all these brilliant ideas along, and it has not yielded nearly the quality and kind of results that people swear. They swear that if we do this, we'll get that. It's not working. So now what?
I'll say this and I'll close and let someone else get a little thing in. Haiti can and it will save itself. And I want you to observe and watch and see it with your own eyes. Hopefully,
that's not an answer. That's not an answer. And I want us to be very clear. We should refrain from useless discussion. Okay. Haiti will save itself. How do you know?
Because I know based on history and I've seen it happen in other situations.
Yeah, we've seen it happen. And you're going back to the same old repetition of things that no longer have relevance or meaning.
That's
of things that have been tried and failed spectacularly. And we keep repeating the same errors, hoping
could I get
that
a word in, please?
Results.
Can I get a word in?
You've been able to get a word in, but you're repeating. You're not giving us an analysis. You're repeating.
Well, let me give you an example. Can I give you an example?
I don't need examples. I want to know what is the answer right now from your perspective. What is the answer right now that would yield a different result?
Belief in themselves, organization, and unity.
All right. Okay. Well, no, that's not the answer.
Human needs.
Yes,
okay,
because that answer applies. If you're building a latrine, you ought to have a plan. So it does not necessarily address the specifics of the situation as we know them to be. So it's just yammering. It's not a well thought out plan. And this is what the problem is. We have people who might be in a position to create or to accelerate changes, but they're not prepared for leadership. Because we're wasting time with all these polemics and we're not advancing and we're repeating the same mistakes and we keep marveling that we're getting the same results.
Okay, Professor
Lee. We're not moving significantly forward because
I have a request to make and then I want to let someone else get their perspective in. Read history. Read the history of England
that
and Africa.
That is not the answer. I know that's going to shock you, but that's not the answer. You could read as much as history as you want. It does. How does it equip you to come up with a workable plan and an answer after all this time? How long do you have to read history?
No, that's for you. I've already read it.
And extract something useful from it in the way of a plan. That's we have this discussion going along all the time. Many Black organizations and Latino organizations and people who are struggling are caught in the same milieu for the last 100, 200 years, dealing with the same question and not yet ready to admit they're asking the wrong question.
Well, I'll say this, Professor Leeds, and I'm going to let someone else get their perspective in. I respectfully beg to differ with you on that point.
I can't take that thing that goes off. And you should know, the minute it starts doing that, it is a disturbance.
Okay.
It creates a distraction and a disturbance. And you can't concentrate when you have that level of distraction going on. So please fix
it. I agree with you. I agree with you.
Okay.
And I will retreat, and several other people have got on me about that. Thank you very much and have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Allie from New York, you're on the air. Okay. Patricia from New York, you're on the air. Can Haiti save itself?
Good afternoon, Utrecht, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I have been thinking about this for the last few days, for the last week, actually. And I don't think I am as optimistic as I ought to be. I think part of the problem is that there's an internal struggle that has to occur in Haiti amidst an external force, but that internal struggle has to be between the Haitian people and the individuals who put themselves in so-called leadership positions. You know, too often, and I think that's the problem that many black organizations, black and brown organizations have. They start out, their modus operandi is to operate on behalf of the people. And there comes a point where they realize that their self-interest really should be primary, and what's in the best interest of the people becomes secondary. And I think the Haitian people are going to have to figure out and identify who is operating on their behalf and who is not. Right now, there's such a void in leadership, and everyone seems to be saying, I am the person, I am in charge. Nobody knows who's in charge, but everybody's professing to be in charge.
Including the people who are professing to be in charge. They're not sure that they ought to be in charge. They're just saying it too.
Exactly. And until the Haitian populace, there's been such a lack of a role or a model for how a country engages in independence and self-determination and self-governance. There has been such a lack of this for so long that somebody is going to have to emerge from the center who says, I know what it is. And I don't know that that's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know.
But what's going to happen tomorrow is we'll continue the conversation, because I think you could sense right where you started, that's where we need to be. That's where we need to start the conversation. How well prepared are we at this moment when we are expecting or wanting to do certain things to create change? Are we prepared? Do we have our house in order? What is lacking in this business of nation building? Can it be done? These are the questions we have to ask, and we have to ask them self-critically. No, forget the platitudes. Look at what has been produced. Is this what we are facing for another 100 or 200 years? Do we want that? Or is there something else that we need to consider? We finally have come to a point where we can begin to get real about the questions that must be asked and the answers that we must demand if we are sincere about progress and the achievement of goals. That is what I'm talking about. That's exactly the point. And Patricia, you brought the point home today, so thank you. And we'll continue this tomorrow and for as long as we need to get this question fleshed out. Thanks so much for listening. And thank you for hanging in with me and my new meds. I'll be all right. Thank you so much. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.